Amen. Firstly, I want to appreciate the leadership for the privilege to be here. It is not one that I take for granted. And I'm trusting the Lord and we'll still be friends after the meeting. Amen.
Amen.
Can you please help me celebrate my brother, the Reverend Dr. Kaiwo Molan? It's the face of our father, the Apostle Aromen Ekiti State. So it's the point man, RCN Ekiti. Thank you so much, sir. I don't know why he came, because he's a senior doctor, but he still wants to be here. So it means I have to gather myself together. The Lord will help. We want to pray, but the volume is still too loud. So you pray for 3 minutes, you not start praying. You not start playing. We want to pray. You may be seated. We want to pray. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to share a little bit. Then we're going to pray to enter the meeting proper. The rise of Cephas. Father, tonight we thank you. We have gathered around your faithfulness. And for the purposes of tonight, around your desperation to gain a generation. We perceive that you have tried to reach out using many ways. But tonight, you have decided to reach out using this word and prayer conference. Our cry to you is that tonight you will win. There are nights and there are nights. On a certain night, the Bible said that when Jacob was left all by himself, a man came and wrestled with him all night. A few things were the signature of that wrestling bout when day broke. First of all, there was the loss of the strength of Jacob. He could no longer run. Two was the change of name. Three was the entrance into the covenant that was older than him. We ask that tonight there will be landmark deliveries, that we will not return home the same way we came. Wound us so that we can be qualified to be healed of you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Okay. God has told me not to start the way I want to start. So I agree with you. All right, I want to raise a prayer point for 10 minutes and then we'll pray. I will spend the rest of the meeting to raise a prayer point. If by mercy you arrive at my prayer points at the end of this meeting, then I know that God will have initiated successfully a walk with you. I was supposed to be here, I think, by the invitation of the JCCF, but the date they were giving me, I could not come on that day. I just felt a burden to be here. And then where's Raphael? I can't say no to this young man. That's why I'm there this night. I can't say no to him. Raphael was privileged to be with us in the Boomer Show. He served. Not like a hireling. He served as a son. And true sons serve. So when they make requests, you can't see me. You can't see me. It's the reason why I agreed to come. All right. So let me begin this way. There are regular days in God. And by the word regular, I mean that the things that take place on those days do not have any major significance, or if you want, any major impact on the things that God is doing. There is such a concept as a move of God. And the move of God suggests an idea that began from the heart of God. And like the word move, it began to sustain expression many times transgenerationally until there is a fulfillment in a particular chosen generation. I'll give you one from scriptures. If you have studied Genesis chapter 3, you will have found out that in the day that God was communicating his sentence to Eve, to the serpent, and to Adam, there was a move that started. It looked like a punitive move. It looked as though God was a judge who was wrought against man. And so he began to speak some things that looked as though they were going to limit the expressions of man. However, if you look deeper, what you will find out is that it was in Genesis chapter 3 that God began a redemptive move. This is the Redeemed Christian Fellowship. So just like the name of the ministry, a redemptive move was born that day. It was a move that those who first heard it could not accurately understand. God had a generation of fulfillment in mind. As a matter of fact, his utterances set a stage for the kind of debt that the one who will pay the ultimate price for the depravity of man will have. So that he said, looking at the serpent, that I will put an enmity between your seed and the seed of the woman, making us understand that as time begins to unveil, there will be only two kinds of people in the earth. Are you with me? There will be a kind called the seed of the serpent, and there will be a kind called the seed of the woman. And these two kinds of men, on a particular day in context or in contest, they will be gifted representatives. One will stand representing the seed of the woman. The other will stand representing the seed of the serpent. The judgment of God gave us a picture of how both of them will impact each other in the contest. He said to the seed of the serpent that you will bruise his heel. And said to the seed of the woman, you will crush his head. So what we saw play out at Calvary was actually a fight that was fixed. That in nailing Jesus to the cross, apart from the fact that he was stretched, and you know, if doctor had the privilege to give us a picture of what it means to first stretch you before they nail you, you will understand that there are few kinds of death that are as impacting as dying on the cross. So strong that in trying to rate pain in its highest intensities, we use the word excruciating. It has to do with the impact of a cross on a man. So that was how that word was captured. This, I'm trying to explain what a move is. It took over 4,000 years for that move that was uttered by God to find expression. It is to tell you that this God we have come to gather around can wait. Somebody say God can wait. It means in every generation, he brings the consciousness of a move that began in his heart to that generation. And in case the generation is not willing to align with the demands of God for the fulfillment of that move, God will not alter the mandate of the move. What he does is that he will go back into hiding, because scripture tells us that God is a master of hiding, and he will allow that generation to waste. Until a generation comes that is actually willing to partner with God. The mandate of the seed of the woman was that they will crush his head. So the battle happened in a place called Golgotha. And it's interpreted in Hebrew, the place of the skull. So it was a place of head crushing. However, if you take a close look at the crucifixion of the Christ, his feet were not nailed apart. He was nailed heel to heel, so that the nail went through the top of his foot and went into the first heel, into the second heel, to fulfill the mandate that the energies of the seed of the serpent will crush or will bruise his heel in the place of head crushing. I want to announce to you that what we have gathered around is not a new mandate in God. The reason why it may be sounding new to you is because maybe you have not been such postured as to be able to pick this signal. I know you know many things. And I know when you saw this theme for the conference, there were many things that crossed your mind. Well, I'm likely going to preach against your mind. But if he be willing and he be obedient, the Bible says you will eat the good of the land. The concept of God as regards the emergence of an army of saviors or the rise of saviors is an ancient concept. It dates as far back as the Garden of Eden. What happened at Calvary was that one emerges of the seed of the woman to give us a picture of the assignment of a savior. So that every time you want to claim that you have become a savior, you will need to score yourself using the marking scheme of the Christ. We will need to match you impact for impact. We will need to match you utterance for utterance. And before we go into those two expressions, we will need to match you existence for existence. I know you pray. And it is possible because of the longevity of life that in a lifetime you'll be able to pray more hours than Jesus prayed. I've come to announce to you that foundational to the effect of prayer is existence. Are you with me? The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of. It means every time we live out the righteousness concept, long prayer is equal to futility. Are you with me? So that no matter how loud you shout fire, the realm of the spirit responds first to the person who is shouting before it responds to what he says. Amen. So as we journey, I want you to trust the Lord to begin to gift you the feedback of a labor in extraying your life. If we will have saviors in Federal Police Advocate, then we will have people who have first mirrored the Christ by life before initiating mirroring the Christ by labors. May God give you understanding. What I just did is not part of my labors. I just wanted to explain to you that we are trusting God that in your time, on your campus, and on a wider scope in your city, you will be fulfilling a move of God. It's beyond 3 minutes now. I only gave you 3 minutes. It's too loud. Look for a softer instrument and play. You can choose a song, a worship song, and stay on that song. It's becoming increasingly difficult for minstrels to usher me into the stage. Because I also think. And I understand that if you want to lure a spirit, the first thing you do is find out the song that spirit wants to hear, because we are weak human beings. Even in our saved status, we are still designed to be weak. Are you with me? So salvation exposes you to strength. It really doesn't make you strong. If you claim to be strong, then you will not be able to do much, because for every assignment that God calls a man to do, he gives that man power. And Isaiah already told us that the only ones who receive power are the weak. Are you with me? So the first assignment of a minstrel is to look for the song that the spirit wants to hear. And even though you have 20 songs and you are tempted to sing another song, you will stay with that song. Nothing increases spiritual consciousness like repetition. Are you with me? So Victoria Orenzi stands and goes, hey, yeah, yeah, hey, yeah, yeah, hey, yeah, yeah. And she can do that thing for 10 minutes. Because by the time she finishes 10 minutes, the spirit has traveled successfully from its last location to the new location. You didn't invite me to come and teach sound, but that's how to be helped. Amen. I began by saying to all that we are, that they are regular days in God. It means that there are days when we gather together and the things that we do have no effect on the move of God. But there are also days in God. And when I speak of days, I do not speak of 24-hour days, because God is eternal. It's one of his basic expressions. He dwells outside the realms of time, but has not lost the ability to manipulate time. It means you cannot judge God by a clock. You cannot judge God by a calendar. The days of God are activity days. So a day in God can be 20 years. It just means that the proof that you are aligned with what God is doing is that for 20 years you'll be doing the same thing. Amen. Is it easy? I mean that as a church group now, if you find out that the next 10 years in God are designed to accomplish only one thing, every new tenure that comes in will have the same thing. Day of glory. And when the other ones come, they will still say the day of glory. They will sit on the same verse of scripture and be running it. And they will not be sorry to answer those who ask them, is it that there's no new thing? You'll be able to say to them, we are with what God is doing. You know, in Nigeria, churches change their teams every year. I mean, including those who didn't hear God throughout the year. On the 31st of December, you must hear something. I'm saying these things so that when you grow up, you will take a note of silence, that if you have not heard God, you will not speak. Are you with me? Membership is set on strange expectations, that when the man says the theme for this year is our year of power and power, God, we need to ask the angels, when? Are we doing power and power here? So the days in God are long days. And I want to announce to you that based on my understanding, for like the last 30 years in Nigeria, God has been preparing for this season. And because of the maturity that has suddenly come to darkness, which is not sudden, because if you have followed the movements of darkness in our nation, you will have found out that where we are now is no accident. It was a step-by-step journey into this place, and it was a progressive weakening of the body of Christ. We didn't arrive here by accident. We can track how we got here. We can track how we began to journey away from scriptures. We can track how we began to journey away from holiness and purity. We can track how righteousness was put on the backstage, and what you could do became the most important thing. We will see that point where the dichotomy between the maturity in gifts and the maturity in fruits was put in place, so that it became possible for people to mature so much in gifts, and then even though they can do so much, they don't look like the one that they are representing. Based on my research, it has taken 10 years or 30 years to get here. That if you got saved in the last 30 years, you may not be strong. If you got saved in the last 10 years, you will need help. You came around to church when the project had failed. Are you with me? I will show you. Because when many of you came to church, that's why I said I can hurt people. When many of you, can I come down? If people invite me, it's because they want to hear the truth. So that we know how desperate God is. Because we can finish this meeting, and one of the things I can do to excite you which is the new thing in Nigeria, is that I will tell all of you to switch on the backlight of your phones. We will go off here and we will shout that light has come to your campus. And you'll be excited. And when you wake up, immorality will still ravage this place. Are you with me? So those things don't work. Darkness does not respect phone from the back of light. Light from the back of phone. You came when titles were superior to capacity. So that you have many. Am I doing something wrong? Okay. So that now we have many prophets who don't know their purpose. All they know is a title. We have many people in ministry who did not receive a mandate. What they claim to receive is a logo and a ministry name. And that's a failed project. So that after 10 years, just asking, what are we supposed to be doing in ministry? That's why Jesus told me, go to Adoekiti. So we have set up a more intense meeting tomorrow morning. I have two conferences in Ibadan over the weekend. But I have decided to do a 6 a.m. session. And I know it's too early for some of you. But the next two, I used to do 5 o'clock. So let's just come in. It's for those who think that there is a life in God for them beyond the congregation. So I'll be very intense. It's just maybe 1 hour, 15 minutes, and then you can go back to your classes. How many people will come? If I see 10 of you, if I see one person, I'll see minister. So it's not number based. All right. So, because the enemy has arrived successfully at a place where it looks as if the energies of the church can no longer catch up with the enemy, God has suddenly become very desperate. And in desperation, the deficit of labors that should have been carried out in the last 30 years have been concentrated in this season. So that the proof that you are aligned with what God is doing is that your life will no longer be able to yield according to a normal course. It will look as if God is rushing you. As he's saying something, you are aligning. You think that the season of rest will come to you. He's saying another thing and you need to align quickly. He comes on Monday and says fast Monday and Tuesday so that you can lose these sinful habits that you are struggling with. And you are trying to understand how that for the first 2 days of the week, you will not eat. And then he comes back on Wednesday and says, if you want to understand scriptures, you need to fast Wednesday and Thursday. And you find out suddenly that in 1 week, you have lost 418 days. It's because he wants to gain time. God's answer, when depravity fills the land, is a company of saviors. That's what he has chosen to call them. They do not emerge because God just wants to show off. They emerge on the back of a set of needs that God wants to see fulfilled. And I plead with Jesus that at least there will be one person in this auditorium who will say yes to this mandate. And that person will be you. Yeah. Why is this day special? Let me read from my notes. Because I took the diction for Jesus. This day is special because it is in God a day of salvation. You will not need a savior if the agenda of God is not to save. So it is a day of salvation. When I say day of salvation, there are things that the Lord said to me that I wrote word for word. He said, as a day of salvation, it is one day in which the capacities of God, men, and into his original plan will be deployed. So it's a day of the deployment of divine energies. To what end? That men and territories, or they call you. What do they call Samuel? Is it Pastor Samuel? Can I call him Pastor Samuel? Okay, it's Papa Samuel. Okay. Say all of you know, shout out, Papa is not a 5-fold title. Say you know. Okay. So, in this day, God seeks to release his energies so that Papa Samuel and Federal Polytechnic Ado Ekiti as a territory can be restored into God's original plan. That's one. Two, it is a day in which the scripted intentions of God, one of the assignments of the prophet is to read the writings of God. So they are scripted. His intentions. The things God wants to do have been written in scrolls in the spirit realm. So it is one day in which the scripted intentions of God will be acted out by men. Like the one who has yielded to God becomes one who is part of a drama crew. In every accurate drama crew, somebody writes the story, right? Then they break it into characters. And each character is gifted his own script. So in this day, we are supposed to live from the script. So accurately that if people look at you, what's your name, man? My sister in glasses. Adiola. Good. People sit in front are many times my specimen. So that it's Sister Adiola, the design is that if people want to know what God intends to do, they will need to look at your life. Because your life is lived as the expression of something that God has scripted in heaven. Your life becomes the story, the expression of the story that God is telling in heaven. That's the design for this. Three, it is one day in which the potency of the Spirit as captured by the saints will be occasion to bring relief to men and a witness to God. The Spirit is potent. What God is looking for is that the saints will lay hold of that potency. It is to fulfill two assignments. One is to bring relief to men because there is pressure in the earth currently. Two is that in bringing relief to men, the witness of God, that lost witness of God, will be brought back. I know some of you are thinking, well, everybody knows about God. It's not true. When I was serving in my degree in 2008, we went for, was Christ 25th of December. And one of our mommies, she's currently based in Jos, Latter House Christian Center, Pastor Jemima Mbaya, took some of us coppers with her, and we went to the city square. We had rice and all of that. The instruction was not to preach to anybody. Just give food, give drinks, let them eat as much. And then we had a lot of our Majiri children, over 80 of them. Some of them had 2 plates, 3 plates. You know those they call our Majiri children. Technically, those children dropped down from heaven because that's technically, they don't have parents. And they are so indigent that if you're traveling to the north, if you buy food and you put it on the table and you turn back to buy a drink, by the time you turn back, they will have started feasting on your food. Is that bad? When one particular small one ate 2 plates of rice with chicken and drank 2 bottles of Sprite, I remember, he looked up and said, "Na go de Yesu." And our Majiri, by the time he's 5, can no longer acknowledge Jesus. He was raised in a strange room where his heart was programmed to be anti-Christ. But food broke it. I'm saying that in this day, God wants to release the potency of the Spirit. And it will not all be deployed on the podium here. It will be deployed in your hostels. It will be deployed in the marketplace. It will be deployed in your classrooms so that those who will not have confessed the Lordship of Jesus or confess their consciousness of the potency of the Christ will be able to say, only Jesus can do this kind of thing. Why that kind of thing? The last thing he said to me concerning this day is that it is one day in which The core essence of the Christ, as expressed in the days of his flesh, which is his essence as a savior. That's the core essence of the expressions of the Christ in the days of his flesh. As he cast out devils, he was operating as a savior. As he healed the sick, he was as a savior. As he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, it was as a savior. It was in ascension that the essence of his kingship began to express. Amen. The will of God is that that core essence of the Christ in the days of his flesh, his essence as a savior, will be born by the saints. That when we look at you, there are many things we can call you. We can call you a prayer warrior. You can be called a chorister. You can be called a minstrel. But when we take off all those operational garments, what will be foundational to all of us is that we are saviors. Just like our savior was prophet, priest, and king. Three garments that he wore on his savior essence. You will also move around a savior waiting to save. That any, if you pick a bike, do you pick bikes here? Yes, yes. If you pick a bike, the 10 minutes experience you have with and we deliver saving essence. If he was saved, I mean he had given his life to Christ before you met him, that 10 minutes, he will have pressed beyond the event into the experience. That's the design for this hour. When you look at that design, if you follow through, it should leave you feeling inadequate. Am I right? Should I go back to Bomosho? See, night and day is the same with God. Abi, he that keepeth Israel, neither slumbers nor sleeps. So I have not scattered my load too much. I just need to put 3-4 things in the bag and phew, I just run. Are you with me? I'm saying that these demands of God should leave every one of us feeling inadequate. It means that even though it's a day of salvation, a day of performance in God, this day also qualifies to be called a day of need. Because we are inadequate. The things he wants us to do, we cannot do that. So as I began to ponder on the demands of God and arrived at this day of need, I remember that when Jesus was teaching his disciples in Matthew chapter 6, the utterances that gave definition to the Lord's Prayer, he captured a day of need in the prayers. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. That's where we want to pray for. Okay, it's not up here. He said, give us this day our daily bread. And though what Jesus was asking was that the daily nourishment be given, it was a principle that every day that breaks with a need can find sufficiency in God if a man goes by those same words to say, give us this day our supplies. The end of inadequacy in this day of need will be that God begins to administer the supplies that cancel out your inadequacy. So we want to pray. We want to ask the Lord that there will be a supply of the things that are required to meet up with his demands. If you pray well, we just have 4 to 5 minutes to pray. If you pray well, then God will give us a feedback even before I start preaching, because I've not started. So let's start to pray. There is a supply to bring us up to speed with the demands of this day, and we want to ask the Lord to give us that supply. Ask him. Go ahead. Shodo kamamoria la kaso sevina. Erakosa sanakava bikasote kiato no saila babrakatolia. Ambo kaso fenotelia brakavovilia kan shabalato kasombro helekado. Empasave bocasso me bocambia bosamela copanfilo branto casai babo comele chantela abamimo kembasila bacapa bosante e cambai cambia cello cambo sibotama matoteam rascababon fapaite e banatobrian to samamon teludian tabaya. Give us this day the supplies that bring us up to speed with your demands, that in nothing are we wanting in this day of need. Oh, Masakaba Konte Kayataba, Beka Satabande Kome Perante Tidia, the gifts of access, the gifts of instruction, the gifts of spiritual capacity, the gifts of vision, the gifts of focus. Yanana combo saila rakata kembo kabane el paso cambiante taba baito sali kambabo shataka mimonta de kaba sekakati antabraska taba bantonda kome bantaba datai e brakete de katikaba sato zakante in pakatanda bondea avatata mine de doi etatian de drastataya brate kotambe Abasamota, Brantevi, Brantevi, a sopon bebebe catapa, a tate cominotale, a papatata, cabrote tocoto, vatebonda, a cardino sateta, a caca, zatababo, a cotome contele, a pelentante catata, bracata debo santenamo, a cateminodian data. Papata kato totosa Estotan brondi andete Eveta tapata I come needy I come needy You are my supplier And tonight I receive of you Oh solamato tetai Some of you all you need is the gift of hearing That when he speaks your ears can capture his utterances. Come mama mama kata. Benton di komisile. Bendena tu katu sante. Rapatata tokemo. E sombrian dia kabo. E katiton dia sata. We have 2 more minutes to pray. I anosiate. Abrante tandi. Ratata sizitaya. Babonsa. Brante balos. Brante tebe matonse. E papata ke komonte muniata. Rikotonosa. Asai komrie ke teke ke kote. Barata taki kobonda apasilata brakata tatato epode ekafento ikampana tadi rakasatetete epaketa ratakasai aipakole lantata kemonda ikambasata bama efate no diandekaya elaposa asante mimo prentese vriata ponda I need you. Holy Ghost, let that which you were designed to communicate be made available. Ababo kaboria rekobokoto sate brakomo 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 akoma mekotono ekokoto bona tokai eskapo tokotata rakat. Tondi by Kunta Setoria Rakasantekitita Kaba Brakasatateko E by Konde Baba Baba Baha Kamibota Oh Kabayas E Kakata Babeda Keda Indaketa Tababa Bote Some of you lost the fire and you're asking give it back Some of you lost the life and you are saying, Lord, gift it back. Ikai mo kalabasate. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Okay, we'll continue. But as I was rounding up my prayer, the Lord said to me that there are two individuals in this meeting, and what you need to qualify in this season is a gift from God, and he called it a gift of freedom. It is impossible that a man who is bound becomes a savior. So one of the first possessions of this savior generation is that they are free men. There are two individuals in this building who are slaves. You are slaves. You are slaves. Listen, listen. One of them is a young man. And this young man is a slave to an ancient spirit. An ancient spirit. The expression of that spirit is that your ability to manage offense is very small. You are like a volcano. You speak in tongues, you have basic understanding of scriptures, but your anger takes away the strength of the spirit. That's one. It's a brother. The second one is a young lady. And this young lady comes from a bloodline of seers. All of you were designed to have sight in the spirit, but you have battled with a spirit of immorality that has switched the controlling spirit of your sight, so that in essence you function like a diviner. You still see, but the supplying spirit has been altered. So the things that you see have no impact on the movements of God. You only see the things of men. And Jesus is saying that these tools that he gave you were designed to advance his kingdom. And in qualifying for this savior status, he will need to set you free. So, you don't need to pray. I will pray and ask Jesus to help us find this brother and this sister. I know both of you are tired. Scheme to help us take care of that controlling spirit so that we can advance. We will wait till it comes. Father, these two individuals that you have impressed upon my heart, my brother, who needs to lose the hold of that spirit of wrath so that the essence of the spirit, God is saying that brother has a healing unction. But because of your ease of becoming very rough, you have shut the gates of the healing stream that was supposed to come out of you, because nothing stewards healing like compassion. Nothing. Nothing. You will help me find that brother, and you will break him free from that spirit. You will find this sister. And tonight what I ask for is a replacement. That strange spirit that has built an altar around our life will leave. And Lord, you will install the original spirit, the Holy Ghost. Show us mercy. And as I count 1 to 10, help me locate them. And by the anointing, break their chains. In Jesus' name we have prayed. So Lord, from my right to my left, from the front to the back, let this yoke-breaking oil begin to find expression. Show me that brother. Show me that sister. Break them free now. Holy Ghost, 1. You can stop playing. You join me after 10. 2. Just help me find them. Let the oil sit upon them and break their chains. 3, Holy Spirit. 4, 5, 6, 7, Holy Spirit. 8, 9, thank you, Father. 10, play now. So his hand begins to descend upon them. His hand begins to descend upon them. His hand begins to descend upon them, and it rests, and it rests. And it rests, 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 and it rests. Show me the two of them, the two of them. Just help me extract her and take her to my brother. Bring her, bring, take her to my brother. He's a specialist in that area. Can you help me find this young man who needs to be free so that that healing essence to him, that healing essence can be released. And tonight I insist that the hand of God will break that chain. Oh Jesus, break, 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 break from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. I decree freedom in the house. Help me bring him. It's freedom night. It's freedom night. Now the one who loses your chains inflames your hands with the capacity to heal, an unnatural capacity. You reign forever. Your name is ever great. You are the wisdom before. You reign forever. Your name is ever great. You are the wisdom before I began. Let's continue our journey. Thank you, choir. Be seated. You can be seated. We have not ended the service. We are just initiating. So that's the first prayer that we are supposed to pray. We trust God to arrive shortly. In the second prayer, and we are going to be done for the night. First John chapter 5. Okay, let's read the anchor scripture. Obadiah 21. Then we start building. Can we have the scriptures here? Obadiah 21. What's happening? Okay, they can't hear me there. Okay. Obadiah has only one chapter, so it's just 21. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's, and saviors. If you have been studying this portion of scripture, you will have found out that there was a discourse that God had been bringing forth before he arrived at this savior mandate. A discourse that was occasioned because there were many other things that were happening in the environment. There were manifestations of many other nations. There were contrary kingdoms that were finding expression. And it looked as though in the midst of all that we have known, God decides to add an additional reality to the mix. A reality that had the capacity to undo the narrative. I'll give you a physical picture. You know, when you begin to boil rice, how many can boil rice? No, we need to ask. I don't know what you know. How many of us can boil rice? Amen. When you begin to boil rice, you have water, you have rice, you have fuel in your cylinder or whatever you're cooking with. The rice seemingly follows a natural progression. But for those who only eat so that they can fill their stomach, the average African person only eats to fill his stomach. He's not taste sensitive. Even if the food does not have taste, he will have finished it before he says, "Cut! This rice is not sweet." Hey, but where's the rice? There are certain substances that you can add at a point in your cooking that will alter the ultimate outcome of the rice. And one quickly disappearing substance, but one also that has been gifted lasting impact, is what we call salt. Are you with me? So potent that when Jesus was trying to gift his disciples certain metaphors that will open their eyes to see the kind of expressions that he will want them to have, he used two metaphors. He called them the light of the world and what? The salt of the earth. That your design is that when you are added to a system, you do not burden the system. You actually melt into the system, but your impact cannot be separated from the system. Salt. I'm saying that if someone has been going to taste rice, to say, is it soft? Is it soft? Some people need to eat rice before they can know if it's soft. If you come suddenly and you put salt, when the person goes back to taste for softness, the person is going to come into another reality. So that on the pages, the front page or the headlines of our newspapers, when you are listening to a newspaper review, right now has to do with happenings in the political sector, how that one road, one town was shut down because of whether people were paid or not, we don't know. But in Nigeria, people go to political rally even when the politician is not delivering. At other times, it's that bandits struck in one village and they killed 20. The 18 members in an 18-seater bus, the bus left the park but did not arrive because certain people gunned it down, drew them into the bush. And in 2 days' time, they begin to ask for ransom. That's what you see on our newspaper headlines. But there's a day in God, and this is that thing. That when the saviors emerge, the acts of the saviors will be the newspaper headlines. You see, we can meet up with what they are doing. I have checked the newspapers that came during the Azusa Street Revival. You can still see them online. What was happening in the church was what they were saying. People were living, people were dying, yes. There were accidents, there were floods, there was scarcity. But what was happening in that building was strong enough to shatter every other thing. Before Jesus comes, this church will be raptured not in shame but in glory. And what it means is that even those who don't want to acknowledge Jesus, because the witness of God has become so strong, they will be chasing news. And that when we gather in church, Channels TV will be the first to want to come and mark the 20 dead that were raised in church. We have talked about dying people too long. Now we need people who can bring them back. Amen. When God wants to change the narrative in the territory, what he does is that he brings the concept and. It's not the first time he's doing it. If you study the movement between 1 Kings chapter 15 to 1 Kings chapter 16, you'll find out that 1 Kings 15 closed with the narrative of the most wicked king that Israel had. Ahab was more wicked than any other king. So that it was in his time that the walls of Jericho were rebuilt. A man lost his first son. Then the gateposts were set up. He lost his last son. It was a season of depravity. Chapter 16 begins in a wonderful way. The Bible just said, and Elijah the Tishbite. It means that God looked into the pot and was wondering, what can we do? He picked a man as salt and sprinkled him into the pot so that every other person who came to taste knew that something different had happened. I believe God that he will find amongst us tonight and he will add us to certain things that will change the narrative of those things. For some, he will add on your campus. For some, he will add us to the narrative in our homes. For some, he will add you to the narrative in the church. That people will be able to say, since that sister in the choir started leading worship, it looked as though God started coming to church. Since that brother started praying, we don't know what is about his prayer. But even if you didn't prepare a sermon, if you come after his prayer, you are tuned. I'm sorry. I've stayed in expectation so much that my pictures are very strange. That's the way I am. I know that the church won't go down like this. I believe it. And so I've tried to be creative that, okay, what can we even do? What can we even do that will change the narrative? But in a lifetime, we will see God and his potency restored back to the church. In the name of Jesus. All right. So the Bible says, and saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. When we begin to see the movements of darkness gain supremacy in territories, what should come to our heart is not the need to join ourselves to the narrative, but to begin to seek in God for God's antidote to what the enemy is doing. In case somebody is bitten by mosquitoes, and then his plasmodium count becomes increased, that person is likely to fall sick, right? To join those announcing that that person is sick is not redemptive. What you are supposed to do is supposed to look for an antidote. Look, find a drug. Find prayer. And I'm saying find a drug because medicine is a blessing from God. Amen. This is my own prescription. Chioma, if you are already sick, use drugs. Are you with me? It means you have not mastered it. You have not mastered healing. If you're already sick, use drugs. As I usually be praying that it works. Because it doesn't work for everybody. I saw something on WhatsApp yesterday. One guy was trying to drink garri. How many of you saw it? Or you have seen it? And so he carried his garri and was praying over it. And his friend looked at him and said, what is inside garri that somebody is praying over? As the other young man was trying to set up his own garri, he put it on the chair. As he was moving his leg over the bench, he flipped the garri. So he saw the necessity for prayer. I'm saying that if you put drugs in your mouth, it's not the absence of faith. Some people use drugs and it does not work. When we use drugs, it's faith that makes it work. Are you with me? So when you find somebody who is sick, don't say he's sick, find a solution. When you find out that the territory is sick, I know it happens on campuses, that a young lady comes from a good home, and I've said it in many places because I see it all the time. She comes from a good home, and when she came, she was like a Katrin Kuhlman. You know how Katrin Kuhlman's gowns are? Sweeping the ground. And then by the time she finishes first semester, it's as though a virus has been imputed. It's like the skirt begins to suddenly it goes from the ground, it comes to the calf, it comes to the knee, and it begins to travel upwards unendingly, because there is an atmosphere in the school that is seeking to reprogram her mind that these decent dresses don't fit into the system. You have to look in detail to be accepted. How many of you fought that battle? You don't want to raise your hand. It's good. Now, when you came from home, the jean you used to wear, your belt used to hold it well. But now you are not afraid to allow people to see your boxers because you think that's how people are accepted. Looks. That there are some slangs you could not say before you came to school. You knew that it was a betrayal of the Christ to say those things. That this mouth that you used to speak in tongues should not say those things. But because you refrained, people have started looking at you like, is this one strange? And because you want to be socially correct, you have started doing what every other person is doing. You may just think that it's a social thing. Many of those things are atmospheric reprogrammings. That once you come into this place, you begin to act in a particular kind of way. When darkness matures like that, that you don't need to go into the schools of immorality. If you breathe the air, you will become it. What God begins to do in seeking to undo the enemy's activity is that it goes into a factory. And what it begins to forge in that factory is a company of saviors. Men with the capacity to deploy the energies of God so that everything that the enemy has done can be undone. That's who they are. However, you see, these factories territorially, like for your campus, will not be activated until a man understands that the way to meet needs is to say, give us this day what we need. So we will close tonight asking God to release to us a company of saviors. And what God will do in answer to that prayer, it's not just to anoint men, it's that he will send men into a making room. Because in that verse of scripture, there were four things that were listed that will occasion the emergence of a savior. And we need to look at them one after the other. But before we run too fast, our assignment tonight is to make legitimate that cry. There's this Zimbabwean prophet. I listen so much to his teachings, Mana Makandiwa. And he said something 2 days ago. He said, there are two tragedies in prayer. There are men who have prayer capacity, but don't know what to ask for. So he's using prayer energy to ask God for what God is not committed to give. It's a problem. It's like you drive your car, you push it with energy, you get to a canteen, and you say they should put fuel inside it. Is that productive labor? Unfortunately, there are also those who have been helped to know what to ask, but they are too lazy to pray. It's another body. So every time we show up understanding the need of the hour, the first thing one who wants to pray accurately must do is to find out if what you think is the answer to the need is something that God is willing to give. So that's our journey, and then we pray, and then we go home. Is that good enough? All right. So we'll be done very soon. So we have 4 scriptures, and then we go home. I don't want to bother him. The first is in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Are they helping me? Or I should help myself? Okay, I think I should help myself. They are still asking why this day is special. So, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. Please keep your eyes glued to your Bibles. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is where I'm going. And this is the confidence that we have in prayer, in Him, that if we ask anything, can we read together, according to His will, He heareth us. So every time a request is raised in prayer, if it is according to the will of God, the first experience that your request comes into is not the reception of answers. The first thing that happens is that your request is heard. It means there are many prayers that are not heard. Are you with me? Good. Verse 15. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of Him. It means that when you pray accurately, there's a feedback that you receive. That feedback shows that, I've heard you. It doesn't come with an answer. And then that feedback now gives you it brings you into the posture of expectation that your petitions will be granted. Amen. All right. That's my first scripture. Now, why did I choose that scripture? It is because what we seek God for must be located in the will of God. If not, we will pray long, but we'll pray amiss. We'll pray tired, and we'll pray amiss. If not, we'll be laboring around a supply that does not solve the problem. A few weeks ago, I was in a meeting. It was a conference. I won't tell you the theme of the conference so that the people will not say I'm talking about their meeting. I told them this thing in the meeting, shall we? So the sermons were supposed to be built around intimacy. Secret place. That was the theme of the meeting, the secret place. So, I had been to two conferences, and I just flew into Ilorin that day, and each at another, I think I had, in 2 days, I had 5 sessions. I now rushed into their meeting last session. They now said that you will not preach. Your session is fire impartation. And I said, fire impartation inside intimacy. Is it that we will impart people with intimacy? Because there is no limit to the things that people want to be imparted with now. Some people don't understand that the Holy Spirit does not help people to start praying. Are you with me? Paul said, I will pray. Somebody say, I will pray. Whether it is with the Spirit or with understanding, it is you that will initiate prayer. Say, Holy Spirit, force my mouth open. No. It must begin from desire. And then, because prayer is a spiritual activity, 1, 2, because prayer actually does not happen in the earth. I know a lot of people don't know the second one. I found out when I started praying long in tongues that you can keep pacing, keep pacing, keep pacing. And when you stop prayer, you are like, I've done 5 hours. And when you check the clock, you find out you are only 30 minutes gone. How many people have seen that before? It's because when you initiated, you exited a realm that was time measured. And then you stay long in that realm. But when you came back here, what this clock recorded is shorter. So you'll be wondering, is this clock? With all the things I've been praying. And that's the way it is. Prayer really doesn't happen here. It's spiritual, so it happens in the realm of the spirit. Are you with me? But you don't have the energies to enter that realm. You can only initiate entry. So when we want to pray, I first pray. My first prayer is, Lord, help me. Are you with me? Because when Paul was teaching the church out the economy of dependence that the believer is designed to survive with, in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, he said, likewise, it means there are many helps that we get from the Spirit. There are many things, rather, that the Spirit does, but amongst the many things, he also helpeth our infirmities. He now, in his heart, drew a list of infirmities, a list of insufficiencies, a list of inadequacies, and he decides to look for the one based on his understanding that was the most pronounced. That if we say, come and eat, Choma, they will not know that you are a weak person. If you say, come and sleep, I've seen people sleeping and standing before. And they will not shake, they just close their feet and they are gone. And they will not fall down. Some people are blessed with sleep. But I found out that no matter how strong you are, when we come into that corridor where the demand is prayer, if you stay long, you will find out that you are a weak man. So he said, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, because the man who has much prayer energy does not even know the subject of prayer. So energy is not an advantage in prayer. All of us enter with a deficiency. We don't know what to pray for. Are you with me? So what the Spirit does is that the Bible says he intercedes for us, and I don't want to go into that issue, because there's a concept of the groanings that cannot be uttered, and the intercession of the Spirit is not the sound that you make in prayer. Remember, the problem is not your inability to pray. Your problem is what? What to pray for. It means what the intercession of the Spirit births. He does the intercession. He doesn't pray with you. He intercedes for, it means it's a work that is detached from the labors of the believer. Are you with me? So he's doing his own. The way you know that the Holy Spirit is doing that for you is that you'll be knowing what to pray for. Because his labor is covering for your insufficiency. Are you with me? Another time we'll address it. When that thing became a problem, I had to study that portion of scripture a lot, and I found out that in that portion there are three groanings. There is the groaning of creature, there is the groaning of the Spirit, and there is the groaning of we who have received the first fruits of the Spirit. It means that the word groaning is same to everybody. So if you think that the groaning that was spoken of there is speaking in tongues, and the next time you go to the farm, listen hard and see what your maize is doing. Are you with me? If you hear your maize speaking in tongues, it means it's the same thing. There's a secret labor that the Holy Spirit is performing that is outside your prayers. But as you are praying, you find out that you are just doing your own, but scriptures are dropping. Am I right? Certain concepts are dropping in your heart that if you are not careful, you may want to abort prayer to say, where are these thoughts coming from? It's because the Holy Spirit has seen you initiate, and because the void has been measured. He is willing, but he can't survive. Let me go to that corner and be helping him. Amen. It's prayer and word, so let me not stay on prayer enough. Let's flow with the word. But I'm saying that we need to establish what is the will of God so that we do not pray amiss. There are many verses of scripture that define the will of God. However, I find one very striking, which is useful for this discourse, and it's captured in one of those chapters with which Paul spoke to Timothy's son, 1 Timothy chapter 2. And if you give me from verse 1 to 4, we will reveal the will of God as touching this subject. 1 Timothy 2. Help me. Okay. So while they are waiting. Are we? No, give me from verse 1. Because this verse starts with who will have all men. And somebody should be able to ask the question, who is this who? Are you with me? So let's read from verse 1. It's not too far. A generation that will win, we study scriptures well, have found out that people who teach error, they know Bible plenty. They can use 50 verses to establish error. Unfortunately, the believer only knows 5 verses. And that's why we don't doctrinally win those battles. Many times we just fight. Say, you are wrong. Why am I wrong? You say, don't know. Ah. Okay. 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4. I exhort, therefore, stay with me, that first of all, you are playing well, so you'll be playing well. That first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for how many men? From that verse, Paul reveals to Timothy different types of prayer. And that's not the theme for tonight, but there are many different streams of prayer. He concludes this advertisement of the different streams of prayer with the consciousness that these different streams are designed to be applied to all men. So the prayer mandate is a global mandate. Are you with me? Good. Verse 2. For kings and for all that are in authority, like your rector, that when we pray for them, it is that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who? Now, this is one of the verses of scripture in which God was introduced as our Savior. It means the person of the triune nature of God that was advertised here is who? No, is who? Is Jesus. Are you with me? It's Jesus. Because he's the Savior in the triune nature of God. Is God the Word? Is God the Son that is the Savior? All of them have different roles that they play, but Savior is Jesus. As a matter of fact, his name means God our salvation. And his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His name means God our salvation. Are you with me? Or if you like, God saves. Good. So, we were being brought into the perception of the Christ that there are certain things that are good and acceptable in the sight of Christ, and one of those things is to pray for all men. So, of God our Savior, next verse, verse 4, who? So the who here is God our Savior. Who will have how many men? All men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I don't have time to bring to us the concept of truth, because truth is designed to be a two-sided coin. On one side, it is the reality of God or the experiences of God. On the other side, they are the principles of God. So the will of the Christ is that all men be saved. And when we speak of salvation, there is what we call salvation the event, and then salvation the sustained experience. So that if a man comes to the altar and says, how do they used to say that? I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. Let's just leave it like that. Even though in scriptures it's only Lord you are supposed to say. You know, Romans 8, 9. If you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Where is the Bible study called? Okay, have you been teaching our people scriptures? Or you have been telling them stories? Which ones have you been doing? What has he been doing? Scriptures. Okay. When I come tomorrow morning, I will... It says Rema you have been giving them. So I want to do a teaching session for our leaders next week Tuesday morning. And we need to drive back from a meeting in the lorry, do the session, and then go back to preach in the lorry. Because I found out that the average preacher now is inspirational. He doesn't know the Bible. He has no plans to know the Bible. He has an idea. And so he believes that his mind is the mind of Christ. Unknowing to him, the Bible does not say our mind is the mind of Christ. He says we have it. It means it's a possession. It's not that you lost your own. So it means you can interpret scriptures with the mind of Christ or with your own. Are you with me? So these inspirational prayers, preachers, they have found the way of prayer. They pray long and they believe that anything that comes into their heart is what God is saying. That kind of teaching will raise babies. Because the gift of the Bible is one of the greatest gifts that God has given to us. Maybe second or third to the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Bible. That across generations, we will come to the common knowledge of what God is saying. Knowledge that has been tried seven times in the fire that is superior to your mind. I told them in Lekki 2 weeks ago, was a prophetic meeting. I said that the strongest stream of the prophetic, beyond the office of the prophet, beyond the prophetic nature of the believer, beyond the gift of prophecy, beyond the spirit of prophecy, is the word of prophecy, and that's scriptures. Peter added more sure word of prophecy. It means that the Bible is stronger than the utterance of a prophet. So that if a prophet says, this is how your life will be, I can undo his utterances by finding scriptures. That in the beginning, it was not so. My life will yield according to what is written. Are you with me? So, Ayo, Abi, teach them the Bible. Burden them. When you come, you can read 50 verses. So that if they remember 10, they are safe. Amen. It is the will of God, our Savior, that all men be saved. Anyone who shows up in the earth as a man is a candidate of salvation or for salvation. It is not an assignment that God will come to carry out. He will need men who have found this shape of the Christ, and through those men, he will see his will fulfilled. That's the design. Amen. It means that as long as there are unsaved men, there will be a need for an army of saviors. And I just said to us that when we speak of salvation, we are not talking about those who came and cried and went away. Because 90% of people who came and cried and went away, the only thing that makes them look saved is that we remember that they came. Are you with me? Their lives have not changed. He's as vengeful as he used to be. He's as wicked as he used to be. He speaks in tongues now. And when he speaks in tongues, you have an expectation. But lust has not left his heart. We still cannot leave our sisters with him. If God gives him small power, that if he does like this, take it and then you fall to the ground. We don't know what will become. Church, is possible to be an ordained wicked man. I mean, he has a title that gives us an expectation of Christ-likeness. But because he has confessed Jesus one day, you know, all of us know that, and I'll tell you before we close, that confessing Jesus as Lord does not mean you live your life under his government. Am I right? So your life not lived under his government. It's not experiencing salvation. You just know that, well, if you stay in faith, if Jesus comes, you have hope. Are you with me? But that life is lived as a permanent liability to the kingdom of God. Because if you have 10 men in a school like that, when God wants to do any major thing in that school, he will still need to employ the utterances that escaped the lips of Ezekiel, saying, I sought for a man. So God can still look into a congregation of 200,000 and say, I sought for a man. All of them have been saved, but the experience of salvation is absent. Oh, send us help. I've seen many things. I say I'm not old. It's my elder brother that is sitting. You know. And if you look at yourself, you know who is older. I'm not too old, but I've seen men that you lose your guard because you think they are ministers. I mean, because he's a pastor, you just say, okay, we shouldn't watch this thing. And then you come back and you hear stories. But you are supposed to be a pastor. And if pastors like that are like that, it means that the pew can be worse. There is no greater time as individuals to labor into the experience of salvation. That you can sing such old songs like we used to sing, that the things I used to do, I can't do them no more. The places I used to go, I can go there no more. The kind of company that they used to find me in, I can't join them no more. Why? Because there is a great change since I met Jesus. That change must become a burden in our hearts. And it's not a change that is forced. There is a functionary in God who is a master of creating that change. But every time he knocks your heart, what's your name, sir? And says, Ezekiel, this thing. You will say, yes, sir. I allow you to move it. He knows how to take out everything that is wrong about your life until he produces Christ. So in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible says, it is God who is at work where? In you. But to will and to do. First, he administers desire, and then second, he gives capacity to fulfill desires. He will help you. All right. So we have established that God, our Savior, has a saving mandate. It's a saving mandate that he cannot self carry out. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you will find out that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you will find out that what he did was, in first person, he administered his saving essences so that everyone who is saved is now burdened as an ambassador to go forth to proclaim God's desire to see the world reconciled to him. That's 2 Corinthians 5:20. He says, we are ambassadors of Christ. And the mandate is to go forth asking others, be reconciled unto God. He has a saving mandate. It means that there is the need for the emergence of a savior group. I'm almost done. Do I still have 30 minutes? And so I will try not to go beyond that. It's past 8 already. Help me now, Holy Spirit. Good. So, we have established that the will of God to save is for all men. So the will is global. But while the will is global, I've been doing a lot of reading. I want to cover my scope. Because the will is global, we should also know that the will is local. So when Ezekiel is trusting God to save the whole world, understand that your labors are captured in the Great Commission. No? As captured in the mandate of power. Right? Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, first where? In Jerusalem. So that's a localized expression of the will. In Jerusalem, in Samaria, in Judea, and where? To the uttermost part. So while you are trusting God to become the next global phenomenon after Papa E.A. Adeboye, there is a mandate where you are, in your room, that all men be saved. And the face that labors along the lines of that mandate is the functionary that we call a savior. Jesus requires an army to get this saving will done. And so to get it done, if we look at Obadiah 21 again, we will see these four things thereabout, or three, that I have outlined. The Bible says, and saviors. So there is an assigned functionary. The Bible did not say, and pastors. It said, and saviors. So a pastor cannot occasion or cannot fulfill this will of God as savior to save everyone if the pastor does not become a savior. If you have 1,000 members, and your members are members, but not saviors, there's no advantage with them. People who dream to have large churches, they need to be shown the peril of large followers. I have some friends, everybody around them is a spiritual son, including those who are like their grandmothers. When I saw one, that time he was 28, and this woman was about 64 or so. When he celebrated her on his WhatsApp status, he said, my daughter. I said, Kai, you don't have sense. Say, Hey, even if God put that woman under you, does nature not instruct you? I'm saying that if such people monitor everybody under them like they're supposed to monitor them, their lives will not balance. Because sometimes you tell some people five things, including threatening them. They will still do it. And you'll be wondering, so burning. Every member in RCF, Federal Poliado, must become a savior. That's the only functionary that can bring God's saving power. That's the only functionary, and by the word functionary, I mean one who performs a function. That's the only functionary that can change the narrative on your campus. Because what your campus needs is a savior. I didn't finish that my learning story. It will help here. So when I got to the meeting, and the pastor that introduced me, the way he introduced me, I didn't even know I was the one who was introduced. He said, the great man of God. He said so many things that then when they want to preach, they are still trying to stir things. This man, he comes with the atmosphere of God. I've watched Pastor Debo a lot. No matter the accolades, Baba's facial expression will not even change. It's like he cannot hate. And those are the things I look at. He's just focused. I'll be wondering, is Baba not hearing? And when it comes to the stage, it's as though he forgets that you said anything about him. He just kneels down behind the lectern and continues to do his thing. As I grow up, I want to be like that. I feel that there's a mystery that Baba is operating. I'll teach it in the morning. Okay, for those of you who will not come, there are setups that make you leak power. Are you with me? There are setups that make you do what? You have gathered power for a meeting. But there are things that people can do. The lure is that you exit the spirit and you step into the flesh. So that when you mount stage, you'll not be looking for the spirit. So, people who understand that mystery, they know how to sort out things. They just focus. Somebody was introducing me, says, it's young man, an ancient. Say, he's an ancient. What does an ancient look like? Even the guy, man, cannot define ancient. But if it gets into your head, you will have dropped out of the spirit. You will have stepped into the flesh. We need saviors. When I got to the stage, I now raised prayer. You see, they were praying like people who had never prayed before. I said, you were tired and you want fire. I said, no, it's not fire you need. It's life. This meeting should not be a fire meeting. It's a revival meeting. I said, because God cannot put fire on dead people. Man, it took us long before those people could pray. Pray, oh, pray, pray, pray. If we now, it was a meeting that if you call a Bible verse, there will be nobody to tell you the other one. You know, you can say, for God so loved the world, that the place will be silent and they want fire. The prayer I made them pray was, send me. To do what? Sir, have you found out that our revival prayers in Nigeria is send me? God used to send dead people, Abi. May God show us mercy. Saviors, saviors, saviors. That's the name of the functionary. It is nothing with God. The Bible says to save with little or with many. So numbers is only an advantage if it's a company of saviors. And the foundational requirement to enroll in the school from which the saviors emerge is that you become saved. You don't have the capacity to administer what you have not entered into. And in being saved, I mean that you will meet a Lord. He will be well introduced to you, that you see, the only reason why he saves you is because he wants to own you. He wants to master you. He wants to become your king. So that you understand that you cannot release his sin essence if it's not in touch. So you will recite the one here, and then we'll add your name to church membership, that this person has been saved. And then heaven will now start marking. The Bible says there is joy in the midst of the angels of God over every... I found out that joy doesn't reach God. It's the angels. They don't know as much as God knows. Because there are many people who got saved that we celebrated that they were not even saved. Should be anybody who comes to the front, we believe that they are saved. I've seen people chew gum to say sinner's prayer before. One hand in the pocket, they just come and then they say it. And they go back to become not Yahoo boys. Many Yahoo boys have confessed Jesus. But it does not save them from that trade. Many Yahoo boys attend anointing service so their trade in the Yahoo business can thrive. And many wicked pastors have poured oil on the heads of strange men saying that they will thrive. When you grow up, you will not be like that. Basic salvation is the entrance. But I've also found out that God does not bring up a man as a solution to the problems in the realms of men until that man bears the scars of the makings of God. If he has not made you, he will not send you. So the Bible says, give me Obadiah 21. Let's round up there. So the Bible says, saviors shall rise, they will not appear. It's as though there is a labor that begins from the base of the mountain. And then they climb up until there is an emergence. He brings them in, but he doesn't release them. The Bible said he called them that they should be with him and that he might send them. Keep that verse of scripture up. So the first thing we see in that portion is a functionary. Called who? A savior. Two. Is we see what God gives the definition of the making room. You cannot produce a savior in the market. The Bible says they will emerge out of the furnace in which they have been made. It means one of the assignments of Zion. And when I speak of Zion, beyond the global concept, there is a localized expression of Zion, and it is the local church, like the one you have here. Your labors, and I'm speaking to the leaders now, must be to produce a product. I tell people, when you gather people together, you need to project in 4 years, what will they become? Those small children that go to Quranic school, my wife went to, by age 8, is some of them, you will sweat to convince them. Because they don't learn haphazardly. They don't come today to learn power to raise the dead. And then they come tomorrow, they learn how to pass an interview. You don't want to know the topics we do now, people do now in church. A brother serving who was with us, serving in Oshogbo, had to escape from the only church in his area to be coming to Bomosho. He said for 3 Sundays, what they were doing was dental care. How that you must brush your teeth up and down, inside out. When you wake up in the morning, before you brush your teeth, first rinse your mouth. We were mourning. One of our brothers came from Lagos, and their last 3 Sundays were how to prepare them for an interview. One of those callers, they brought a dressing specialist whose assignment was to tell them what color of shirt and color of tie match themselves together on a Sunday. So they pray, they do opening prayer, they must do praise and worship. And then this strange man who believes that he's also preaching, teaching people to not tie, that there's what they call the European tie. There's a UK nothing and there's an American nothing. Now, when you wear a checkered tie, you must wear a plain shirt and you should not wear a pinstripe suit. That's what they did for 3 weeks. And at the end of that thing, somebody will come whose heart is not bleeding, and we collect offering from those people because they must collect offering. And then they go home. When you meet those people, how was church? They say glory. Talk was awesome. What's the meaning of awesome? So I do Jesse Thanksgiving. So the person will say, "Oh, say, now fans come to." So they will dance their Ghana's t-shirt and come. They are thanking God for a club that they have no stake in. We have run out of syllabus and now we have become masters of extracurricular things. We just bring people into the church. My spiritual father calls such churches a zoo. So we can't blame people that they are weak. Darkness is not growing. You know it. If we switch off the lights here, it's not because darkness came. It was here. We were the ones that altered the shape of things by bringing light. It means darkness is as small as it was from the beginning. But diminishing light has given strength to darkness. When you teach people, you must have a product in mind that based on this stepwise, this systematic teaching, we will produce strong praying men in 2 years. So when they come for a 2-hour service, you teach them for 1 hour, they pray for 1 hour. You teach them for 1 hour, you pray for 1 hour. That's how to produce them. I was sharing in Enugu 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. I said, if you are welding and you bring a 3-year-old witch into your house, you will be poor after 1 month. At 3 years old, that young lady knows how to wipe out your finances. But there are 50-year-olds who will start living in the house and money will not increase in that house. We don't have the capacity even at old age to give life. But darkness has mastered how to take it. Zion is a place of making. And if people don't have every other thing, they should be, when they come to Zion, they must bear the marks that God made them. So they come one Sunday, and after the service, they can't greet themselves. Because that day, God came with an ancient knife to cut off flesh. Everybody goes back home praying. But they will still come back. I have proved it in almost 10 years that you can ask people every Sunday and they will come back. Because me, I don't know why people come to our meetings. This is how hard I preach every day. Yes, sir. And they still come. So I found out that the human capacity to bear the cuttings of God is very large. Because when they first came, they were wondering why you were doing that. After a while, they started seeing the Christ manifest in little quantity. And then they began to love the pain. proof of sonship. Only bastards hate chastisement. Saviors, leave my scripture. I know that I'm not as fine as you, but just leave my picture. Help me so that we can go home. I want us to pray now. Oh, help me now. Obadiah 21. Should we stop here? Saviors shall rise up on Mount Zion. And the third thing you see in this verse to introduce this company of saviors, so we know who they are, we know where they are raised, we also know the assignment that they have been sent to do. The Bible says it is to judge the mount of Israel. We don't have too much time. But you see, Esau was part of the, was one of the individuals who had access to the Abrahamic order of expressions. However, Esau was a misaligned man. So every time you hear the name Esau, what you see is a system that is functioning contrary to its ordination. It was a misaligned system. So when we speak of the mountains of Esau, it's not the mountains in the nation of or the Esau nations. It's actually misalignment that has gained traction, that has gained that has become systemic. Like that shortening skirt I was talking about. Like drug usage in Nigeria now. So strong that a brother was trying to hold 10 hours. But he looked into himself and found out that, I can't last for 10 hours. So he ingested some little bit of Tramadol. It was not to kill, he was to pray. He could not join the 10-hour prayer meeting because he spent the rest of the 10 hours in ICU. He was to pray. He didn't understand that the Spirit carries people. It means that there are people who smoke in their hemp for 10 hours meeting. So when you feel tired and you feel, am I cursed? Everybody is strong. You need to ask everybody, why are you strong? Are you with me? Maybe you are the only one that is trusting the Holy Ghost. Maybe some people smoked coffee or they inhaled glue. There's seemingly no limit. And the truth is, it's a system that is eating through. Systems like this system that conditions sexual persuasions. And the church needs to begin to talk about it. It has infiltrated the church. I have met in the last 2 years by prayer coordinators who are gay. The guy already has carnal knowledge of certain brothers in church. And when he got to an end of himself, after a sermon, he runs and says, sir, help me. So, these mountains of Israel, systems that establish misalignment, are the ones that this savior generation is supposed to judge. The last thing you see in that verse of scripture is the feedback of the activity. So that if a savior passes through here, you don't need to think too far as to if he was a savior or not. What you will see is that the kingdom, the dominion in the territory will have become the Lord's. So after all has been said and done, if we find out that God is not in charge, it means that the saviors have not prevailed. We want to pray. My first prayer point is not for everybody. It is that I feel that there is a possibility that we may have one or two people in the building who became saved because they came from Christian families. That you are a Christian because you were born in a Christian family. Your name is Peter Paul. I'm not saying no. I mean that you have two Bible names. And you think because you have Bible names, you are saved. We want to give you an opportunity to enroll in the school of saviors, because we will not suddenly appear. Every one of us will be made. We will wear the badges of every class that stripped off us. We leave a badge will be left to show that this one has graduated from the class where they deal with anger, where they deal with lust, where they deal with immorality, where they deal with greed. You will bear all the marks. You are here. You have never personally confessed Jesus as your Lord. You are the first altar call we want to make tonight. Come. Don't be ashamed, though. In addition to that call, you have confessed. You know you are saved, but you have not seen any change in your life since you became saved, meaning that the Lordship of Jesus has not become an organic reality for you. I want you to come to the altar. You are saying, Lord, I know I'm saved, but I want to experience it. Come to the altar. Quickly, quickly, quickly. We don't have time. We don't have time. So come to the altar quickly. You want to walk out of here on experiencing that exchange that happened. God bless you, sir. So we are without excuse. My brother has bailed the cart. In case you are serving in a unit, you are in the offering, you are whatever unit you are, you are in the choir, maybe you are even a prayer warrior, because unsaved people pray. Come to the altar. You can kneel before the Lord and speak to him. Open your heart to him. Church, our first labor in prayer is to stretch our hands to these precious ones, committing them to the Savior. The Bible says, of the increase of his government and of his peace, there shall be no end. He begins to save a man, but his saving power travels from layer to layer until the man who is saved becomes a changed man. Oh, Jesus. Can you play hymns? So take my life and let it be. Stretch your hand and pray for them. Consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Keep playing. Keep playing. Wherever there is a battle of wills going on, tonight God wins. We break, we break, we break the will. You were saved because Jesus chose a will that was exterior to his own. Not my will, but your will be done. And tonight God dominates your will. In the things that you say, in the desires that you have, the Holy Spirit is a master at swapping desires. And tonight, he begins to perform this work in you. You have been matriculated, or you have been admitted. Tonight, he assigns you matriculation numbers. He makes your entrance into the kingdom legitimate with proofs. Oh, makamo silaba. Hear their cry. Hear their cry. And Lord, let that which happened on the cross begin to express in them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Where's Ayo? Please. You will teach them. Me, I'll be praying for them. So, please follow this young man. God will give me grace, so that once in a while I can also communicate with you. I can send a short audio. just to bring instructions. But give him your name, your phone numbers, so that we can follow up like that. And my brother is in town, so he knows what to do. The Lord bless you. Please go with him. Okay. So, we want to pray our second prayer. Listen to this. As you grow in Zion, there are two essences that Jesus commits as proof of growth. Huh? Okay. I can do this in 2 minutes. As proof of growth. The first thing is that when you begin to grow, and by growth I mean that there's conformity to the image of Christ, Jesus begins to share some personal things with you. And there are two personal things that give you the potency required to quench what darkness is doing. These were the two things he gave to his disciples in Luke chapter 10. So give me Luke chapter 10 verse 1 and then we pray. I just have 3 or 4 minutes more. Every other thing I'll do in the morning. So, am I supposed to do an impartation session? I'll do it in the morning. Luke chapter 1, chapter 10, verse 1. Somebody read for me. You can read. Is it Luke I want? I think it's Mark. Give me Mark. Let me pick my scriptures. See, Mark 10. Yeah, it's Mark 10. We'll just pray that prayer and then we go home. Chapter 11. Luke 11. Am I right? Just hold on. I know it's 10 or 11. I'm almost there. Sorry. Luke chapter 9. Holy Spirit, forgive me. Luke, emphasizing 9. 9. Then, Luke 9, 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Now, these are two tools that Jesus shares as you begin to grow, because a savior cannot be potent in rendering your savior assignments these two realities. They are different, even though many times they are used interchangeably. Every time a savior begins to labor, one of the first things you will see is that there's opposition. And so God gives power so that we can win. So God fights with power. Can you say that with me? God fights with power. When he wants to win, he uses power. But when God has prevailed, to ensure that that battle is not recycled, that means he doesn't have to do it again, he maintains victory by authority. Are you with me? So he uses authority to maintain victory, but he fights to win by power. In 2 minutes, because our time is totally gone, we want to ask Jesus that even tonight, he will begin to send some of us with these two realities. And then tomorrow, we will expand it. So we pray for 2 minutes, and you can spend the rest of your night laboring that you come into this shell. Tomorrow morning, we'll fly from there. So you can rise. We're asking the Lord to equip us as saviors. Equip us with power. Equip us with authority. Equip us with power. Equip us with authority. I Are there things you have been sent to do that you have not prevailed in doing them? We want to ask for power. It is that it communicates to us supernatural ability so that we can prevail. So tomorrow morning we will have a 20 to 25 minute impartation session, and we will trust Jesus to help us gain traction with these two things. But tonight we want a foretaste as we go. You will send us forth with power. You will send us forth with authority, that in your name we will prevail and we will be able to sustain victory. The land is parched. The enemy moves without restraint. But even as we go for tonight, we will steal the strength of the enemy. Oh Jesus. Kenakato kasai kombriate kada demometa. Beto sabenai rate sovinia.
Upon your heart is whether this is the generation that will bring that intention of Jehovah to pass in this land, or we should wait for the next. You are going to cry to the Lord tonight. Lord, upon this nation, upon Federal Polytechnic Ado Ekiti, cause saviors to arise. Upon Federal Polytechnic Ado Ekiti, let saviors arise. Let it be the testimony that at this year God raised men, that these are the generations of men that God raised.